Now, the first person in the Bush administration to publicly broach the idea of seeking a new U.N. mandate on rebuilding Iraq was Richard Armitage, Deputy Secretary of State, and we met with him yesterday in his office at the State Department to talk about Iraq, Iran, and other points around the globe. We asked Mr. Armitage whether the United States should think about turning over control of the reconstruction of Iraq to the United Nations.
Well, at this point, I don't think that any U.N. organization could do any better than Ambassador Bremer and his colleagues are doing in Baghdad now. And I would note that after the horrible bombing and the tragic death of Sergio de Mello in Baghdad a couple of weeks ago, the U.N. has actually rather dramatically drawn down their presence. So there seems to be a contradiction in a suggestion that the U.N. would run reconstruction while simultaneously having drawn down their people to a really modest level.
Mm-hmm. Secretary Powell is quoted in the Los Angeles Times on Friday as saying that some other nations have what he's credited as characterizing as donor fatigue.
Well, I think that's a fair characterization. We've had donations for Afghanistan. Now we're suggesting donations for Iraq. So there's a finite amount of money, and there's almost an infinite need globally, so there is a bit of donor fatigue.
Videotape this week was seen around the world of Osama bin Laden in some remote, presumably remote location. How embarrassing is it to see that image of him still walking around?
No, I think we've all know that we haven't found him yet. No, there's no definitive word on whether he's alive or dead, though I suspect, and many others do, that he is alive. So I don't know that that is particularly embarrassing. The fact that he wants to continue jihad against the United States, against Israel, and for that matter, against Saudi Arabia and Morocco should be embarrassing to him. This is not an idea that is embraced by the mainstream tenets of a great a great religion like Islam.
Bearing in mind that videotape of Osama bin Laden, how is our view of al-Qaeda different on the second anniversary of September 11th than it might have been a year ago?
Well, we've had some notable successes, I think, through the year. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is no longer free. Hanbali was picked up in Asia recently, and there have been several other rather high-profile arrests. So I think you could say that the leadership has been dealt a serious blow. That is not to say that a younger brand of al-Qaeda leaders are not coming up and trying to make their bones these days. We believe they are, hence our worldwide caution that was issued a day or two ago by this department.
In your judgment, does Iran have what I'll just characterize as dangerous weapons?
I think Iran certainly has a dangerous weapons program, that she would like to possess dangerous weapons. We have what is apparently a very good vote in Vienna on the question of a resolution for Iran to basically come clean on the nuclear question by the 31st of October. And this is a good sign for the IAEA and a good development for like-minded countries to be able to develop such a resolution.
With the United States having troops committed, obviously in large numbers in Iraq and in considerable numbers in Afghanistan and other avenues around the world, and having to be watchful in the Pacific and North Korea, is the military credibility that the United States can bring to its policy diminished?
The implication in your question is that one always has to have a military component to every policy. I don't accept that. There are political, there are economic, there are social pressures that can be brought to bear, and military pressures are a last resort.
But if Iran knows that the United States has depleted military resources and therefore perhaps no military option to object to its development of nuclear weapons, doesn't that complicate your policy?
I don't know. I would have said that Iran, having witnessed the almost unbelievable rapidity with which the United States and coalition forces ran through Iraq, would have gotten quite a different lesson about the viability and the nature of U.S. military strength.
Richard Armitage is Deputy Secretary of State. We spoke with him on Friday at the State Department.